Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive.
In these tranquil moments, far removed from the council's clamor and the marketplace's heated debates, I traverse the labyrinthine corridors of my memory. My name, Gamaliel, which means God is my reward, has always been a guiding light in my pursuit of a life that honors the divine. I was born into a legacy of scholarship and piety, nurtured in the teachings of my grandfather, Hillel, whose wisdom still echoes through these walls. In this room, amidst these sacred texts, I have wrestled with the law, striving to unearth the divine truths buried within its commandments and statutes. As a teacher, I have had the privilege to guide many eager minds. Students have come to me from far and wide, seeking insight and inspiration. Yet, it is my encounter with a new sect, followers of the Nazarene, that haunts my thoughts this evening. Some of them were brought before the council, their faces alight with a conviction so fierce it could melt stone. My colleagues, inflamed with wrath, were quick to call for blood, a hasty decision that threatened the very principles we hold dear. I advised caution, urged restraint. If their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail, I told them. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against the Almighty. My words, born of a lifetime navigating the delicate balance of our laws and traditions, were heeded that day, and bloodshed was averted. As the twilight of my life approaches, I wonder about the seeds I have sown. Will they grow into a sheltering tree or wither in forgotten corners? The scrolls of history will tell of our deeds, but it is the divine judge who will measure our worth. And then there is Saul of Tarsus, a pupil whose fire burned brighter than most. Even now, his fervor and depth of inquiry resonate within this courtyard where he once sat, eager and attentive. From the outset, Saul was different, his intellect sharp, his questions piercing. His zeal for our traditions and the scriptures was unparalleled, a flame that refused to be tamed. I taught him as I taught all my students, delving deep into the Torah, exploring the admonitions and predictions penned by the prophets, and debating the subtle interpretations of the law. Saul absorbed it all, his keen mind grappling with complex legal and theological concepts, always pushing for deeper understanding, always respectful yet unyielding in his pursuit of truth. He devoured the scriptures with a passion that both impressed and troubled me. For even then, I sensed a rigidity in his faith, a staunch adherence to the letter of the law that left little room for mercy, grace, or doubt. It is his zeal, his zeal that sets him apart and has now set him on a path fraught with conflict. After he was recognized as a Pharisee, his actions have become those of a man who believes he bears the weight of defending our faith. With the rise of the followers of the Nazarene, whom some call the Messiah, Saul perceived a threat so grave that it has stirred him to relentless persecution. In his zeal, Saul may have lost sight of the compassion and humility that the law teaches. I wonder now, did I emphasize the letter of the law so much that I overshadowed its spirit? Did my teachings inadvertently fuel his fiery crusade? In my lessons, I always sought to balance the fierce adherence to our customs with the broader principles of justice and mercy that underpin our faith. But Saul, with his fervent spirit, perhaps saw only the need for defense, not dialogue. His actions have spurred him to drag men and women off to prison, to threaten and terrorize, rather than to listen or to love. Now I understand that he has obtained from the high priest letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he finds any belonging to the way, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As I sit here, pondering the potential consequences of Saul's mission, my heart is heavy with unease. What will become of him on this fervent path? Will the harshness of his methods cloud the purity of his intent? Or will he find, perhaps through divine intervention, a different path that leads to a deeper, truer understanding of the scriptures we both cherish so dearly? As his teacher, I hope my teachings have not only sharpened his mind, but will eventually soften his heart, that the seeds I have sown will not only confront, but will also comfort, not merely challenge, but also change.
The quiet of dawn, much like the morning of that fateful day, brings with it a reflection, a pondering of what has been set in motion. It's hard to believe that it was less than 20 days ago. It seems like a lifetime. I was still in bed when the Lord appeared to me, Ananias, in a vision. He instructed me to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for Saul of Tarsus. I was hesitant because we have all heard of this man. We know his reputation and his mission to arrest followers of Jesus here in Damascus and far beyond. But the Lord reassured me by telling me that he had appeared to Saul and he had chosen him to proclaim good news to the Gentiles, to kings and rulers, and to the people of Israel. Though still highly skeptical, I obeyed and went to the house. Fear was my companion as I approached him. This man famed for his fiery zeal that had scorched many. How could it not be? The shadows of his past actions loomed large. I found him sitting in darkness, eyes unseeing. I laid hands on him, saying, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Those falling scales represented not just the shedding of his physical blindness, but perhaps a prelude to a greater shedding of spiritual veils. At his insistence, we went to the Barada River, where I baptized him. And in that moment, as he rose from the waters, there was a sense of beginning, an initiation not just for Saul, but perhaps even for me. After the baptism, we came back here, and we fed him, and he rested, and the Lord restored his strength. He asked lots of questions about Jesus' teachings, about his birth in Bethlehem, his childhood in Nazareth, his ministry, his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. He hung on every word like one starving for the truth. Now, just a week since he left, the air is thick with both promise and uncertainty. Saul has gone to Arabia, they say, to reflect and perhaps to confront the vast wilderness of his own convictions. Here in Damascus, whispers of his conversion stir like a breeze, tentative yet suggestive of change. The church here stands at a threshold, and I find myself both hopeful and watchful. We are planting seeds in ground freshly turned. Whether they root deeply or are swept away by the winds of opposition remains in God's hands. My role was small, yet I cling to the hope that it was like a pebble causing ripples across a pond. As I reflect on the potential of these early days, I am reminded that our journey with faith is often a step into the unknown. Let this be my prayer, that I remain steadfast, a faithful witness to the unfolding work of the Lord, that all who tread this path may do so with courage, tempered with wisdom as we navigate the challenges and triumphs ahead. Here I am, Lord. Send me, remains my prayer. For in his service, we find not only the test of our faith, but also its greatest expression.
Gamaliel's wise counsel and Ananias's obedient faith played pivotal roles in shaping Saul's transformation from zealous persecutor to a passionate apostle. Gamaliel's cautious approach and respect for differing viewpoints taught Saul the importance of discernment and open-mindedness in matters of faith. Ananias's obedience, despite initial fear and apprehension, demonstrated the power of trust and surrender to God's will even in seemingly impossible situations. These examples challenge us to cultivate discernment in our spiritual journeys, to remain open to new perspectives, and to trust God's guidance even when it leads us to unexpected places. Father, help us to be obedient to your call.